With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I mean, really? Really? Should we expect anything less than the absolute worst luck in the world, the worst refs in the world, the worst calls in the world, the worst bowls in the world, the worst seed in the tournament in the world? We're Missouri fans, dude. We're Tigers. We are destined to continue to fail and be disappointed year after year after year. That's who we are, period. Look at the history. Some Missouri alumni or something back in the long time ago made somebody very, very angry, and I think that somebody's the Lord. And it's just not happening for the Tigers, man. Not happening.
I'm going to go ahead and say this before we kick things off. I'm here for absolutely no foolishness today. From the callers, from Fanning, from BK, from Serta, from anybody. No interest in your foolishness and tomfoolery today. It is The Drive. Carrington Harrison here, lifelong Missouri Tiger fan. Brandon Kiley here, also lifelong Missouri Tiger fan. And to my right, who cheers for the University of Kansas basketball team, who cheers for the University of Nebraska football team.
That's correct.
Who wouldn't know loyalty if it bit him on his behind, Brad Fanning. How you doing, man?
Oh, man, I'm good. I'm worried about you, buddy. I am. I'm worried about you today. Concerned. I was down at this MIAA meeting down at Hy-Vee Arena today when the news broke, and you were the first person that I thought about. How you doing?
So, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm not happy. We got a lot of stuff to get into. There are a lot of things for us to talk about. Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll catch up with Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports to learn a little bit more about what is happening at the University of Missouri. If you guys missed it today, something that maybe I should have paid a lot closer attention to, but nobody that watches, nobody that follows, nobody that covers the Missouri Tigers gave me any reason to be worried about today's events. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't even know what was going on today. I wake up and then I see, oh, there's a ruling. I'm thinking, all right, you lose a scholarship. You know, something minor happens. Nope. Missouri possibly cannot play in a bowl game this upcoming season. And then, so you get that, and it's like that initial shock, something you got to live with, right?
Yeah.
And then I'm seeing completely neutral observers, people that have nothing to do with the University of Missouri, don't care anything about it. Say things like this from Dan Wolken. Just got a look at the full Missouri report. Doesn't seem like a situation where the punishment fits the crime. Missouri is getting popped with the postseason ban because the tutor was doing the work for a year undetected until she came forward. And then I think back to what happened at the University of North Carolina. If you guys forgot what happened in North Carolina, they essentially had a fake class that hundreds of athletes were signing up for. Hundreds. Not like one, not like two. I kid you not. Hundreds of students were signing up for this fake Afro studies class. They weren't going to class. They only had one paper. They were getting A pluses. They created this course to keep students eligible. You know what happened to the North Carolina basketball program?
What?
Nothing. Nothing happened. So I wasn't that worried about it. I'm like, you know what? The precedent has been set. Missouri's going to get a little slap on the wrist. People are going to get their jokes off on Twitter. Just a normal day in the neighborhood for the Missouri Tigers. But no, that's not what happened. BK, what does this COI stand for? It's like Committee of Infractions or some foolishness. So these are people that are paid by the NCAA. Their sole job is to investigate infractions. Nobody that knows the story thinks that something didn't happen with Missouri. A lifelong Missouri Tiger fan, someone who was a season ticket holder to Mizzou, who just got contacted 3 days ago about renewing football season tickets. The tutor absolutely took courses for students. Absolutely took tests for students. You want to know how many students it was, Brad Fanning?
How many?
12. So this was not some rampant scheme. This was not some, again, like North Carolina, fake basket weaving course that the entire football program could sign up for to keep kids eligible. This was 12 kids at Missouri over the course of a year. Seems kind of small to me, you know?
That seems tiny.
Seems kind of small to me. I was in college. You were in college. PK, sure. You were in college. To act like academic fraud is not going on is foolishness. I remember back at Missouri Southern, I was charging football players $5 a page. I'll write your paper for you. And I got a money-back guarantee if you don't get at least a C. Academic fraud is happening at Kansas. It's happening at Missouri.
You put a money-back guarantee on that?
I had a money-back guarantee. That's I was that deal, confident man. In my work.
Yeah.
I want to play for you guys the Committee of Infractions, what they had to say. And, Brad, I'm sorry here, but I'm angry. I'm upset.
I'm letting you cook, dog.
Listen to what the committee, this is people again, their job is to investigate this. Missouri told you about the incident. You didn't have to go and investigate. Missouri, they self-reported this incident.
I'm not going to compare the cases, but you certainly have identified a significant issue in this case, and that's when a member institution comes forward and self-reports a violation and agrees to the classification as a severe level one. There are consequences that happen. And in this particular case, I mean, Missouri did the right thing. It self-reported. It acknowledged and accepted responsibility. The decision details how we go over the aggravating and mitigating factors. And all of those are factored in, but the penalty guidelines that are put in place by the association control what we can and can't do in terms of penalties. So I would not say they were penalized. I would say that, you know, improperly or extraordinarily, the guidelines the association put in place operated as intended by the association.
So I want to, again, tell you guys the backstory. There was a tutor at the University of Missouri that I'll get to more of what the NCAA is telling you about the scenario. We just heard from the Committee of Infractions that Missouri, they are the ones that self-reported on what happened. This was not like some Yahoo Charles Robinson just popped up with the flashlight and uncovered this academic fraud that was going on at Missouri. They told the NCAA what was going on. Fanny,
yo.
Another question here.
Okay.
Do you think that Missouri asked this woman to do this, or do you think she did this on her own?
I mean, for what it sounds like to me, she was doing it on her own, but she was, if I read the piece correctly, she was sort of urged to keep these athletes eligible. But it sounds like to me, she probably did the majority of it on her own.
Here's from the Committee of Infractions.
Enforcement went ahead and interviewed a number of other people at the institution, and there was no evidence to corroborate or support the assertion that she was, you know, pressured or compelled to do this by others.
So the NCAA, that now all of a sudden becomes Stabler and Benson whenever they need to in these investigations, they have no evidence that anybody in the administration of the University of Missouri told her to do this. Now, maybe they were pressured, but I think that's everywhere. The pressure of, hey, you need to keep so-and-so eligible so they can stay on the court and help us win football games or basketball games. We agree that happens at every single university. Yeah. That is not just a Missouri thing. And then we didn't even cut this because I don't want to bore you guys with any more of this stuff. The chief hearing officer for the panel. So the guy in charge, right? The chief hearing officer. He was asked if schools are encouraged to not cooperate and not tell the truth. He was asked, is it encouraged now based on what happened to Missouri for you to lie about what happened? Because the big difference in Missouri and North Carolina is North Carolina lied about it and continued to lie and continued to lie and continued to lie about it. Nothing happened. Missouri in this scenario is at the forefront. They bring you the information. You do your investigation because we all know the NCAA does an incredible, expedited, thorough investigation. They can't find any evidence to suggest that this came from a coach, this came from anybody in the administration. So when the chief hearing officer, the person in charge, was asked if schools are now encouraged to cooperate or tell the truth, this man said, quote, you can certainly make that argument. Is this the kind of precedent we're setting with the NCAA? That if you commit an infraction and you go to the NCAA to tell them about the infraction, every time they ask you about the infraction, you were honest and forthcoming. They do their own research. They do their own investigation. They do their own due diligence. They can't find any evidence that you, it was some cover-up and you trying to push kids in this direction. You still get a postseason ban and all of this. You can't tell me this happens to Alabama if it's the exact same situation. You can't tell me this happens to Ohio State if this is the exact same situation. I just saw it happen to North Carolina's basketball program, and they got absolutely nothing happened to them. This is wrong.
Yeah.
This is like that one Tark quote from a couple years ago, or a long time ago, a couple years ago, is inaccurate. What he was saying is that the NCAA was so mad at Kentucky that they penalized Cleveland State. Tell me I'm wrong in this. Yeah. The NCAA probably got it wrong in the case of North Carolina, which were doctoring up fake fitness walking classes for students to keep them eligible. Missouri, again, that's an infraction. You cannot have tutors taking classes, taking tests, and doing all those things. But they get a postseason ban in football, baseball, and softball. Tell me why any university would go to the NCAA and tell them I did something wrong ever again. Because they've just told you what happens. If you're not Kansas, if you're not Duke, if you're not Alabama or Ohio State, we will take away your opportunity to play for a bowl game.
Yeah, and Mizzou got screwed in this deal. And as a KU fan, I can sit here and say that Mizzou did the right thing. Mizzou found an issue, reported to the NCAA. They were honest about it, and then they get crushed by it. They get absolutely crushed by it. Even as a KU fan, I don't take, you know, this doesn't make me feel good today because I think Missouri did the right thing when they found out that there was a problem. And they found out that this woman was taking tests and writing papers and doing things for student athletes. They found out about it. They turned it in. They thought they did the right thing, and they got absolutely hammered by the NCAA. There is no reason why schools should be honest with the NCAA from here on out. In the ESPN piece that I read today, and this is about the North Carolina infraction deal, the case in October of 2017. This is from the ESPN piece. The NCAA found two violations in the UNC case. The former department chair and a former secretary failed to cooperate in the investigation. That's how North Carolina got off, because they were told to not cooperate with the NCAA. And we've talked about this before, but the difference is the NCAA can't subpoena you. This isn't legal. They have no power to make you talk. So North Carolina decided that this department chair and a former secretary would not cooperate with the investigation. Therefore, they got their hands slapped. Missouri was honest, and they got absolutely crucified. It's not fair, and it's wrong, and schools shouldn't be honest with the NCAA anymore. You want to talk about setting a precedent? Why should you turn yourself into the NCAA? Why do it? Why run the risk? Just tell your people to stop talking. Don't say anything. Don't cooperate. And the thing will go away and they can't do anything to you. Mizzou got screwed today.
Text line 69306. Is there an appeal process available for this sort of thing that Missouri can try? Yes, Missouri has filed an appeal, and they are obviously not happy about it. I'm not sitting here as a Missouri fan telling you that nothing should have happened to Missouri, because it's clear that academic fraud happened and Missouri admitted as such. But I don't know why we continue to let this system called the NCAA govern and run college athletics. I think the NCAA is evil, and I firmly, with every fiber of my being, I do not think that the NCAA has the best interest of students at heart. And it's not just a Missouri thing. If you're a Kansas fan, you should feel the exact same way with how they've treated your basketball program. Give me an example of the NCAA doing positive things for students. This to me is the peak of NCAA hypocrisy. That literally the person that ran this investigation essentially said today, it would have been better for Missouri to lie about what happened than be honest and forthcoming about what happened in their investigation. It makes absolutely no sense.
And this is a university that's trying to set an example for students, right? And for people to go there. For students that go to the University of Missouri, for students everywhere, the right thing to do is tell the truth. Well, not to the NCAA, it's not, because it'll get you hammered. The right thing at North Carolina was to tell people to not talk. So they didn't. They got away with it. Missouri got killed. I'm coming on your side with the NCAA on this thing. I'm still on the side of paying student athletes, but the NCAA, they are borderline evil. I'm with you, because there's going to be a bunch of kids that had nothing to do with any of this that are going to get completely penalized because Missouri came out and was honest when they found a mistake. It's wrong.
Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. But first, Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports will join us to talk about Missouri, who has a postseason ban for next season. Dennis Dodd, up next. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Coming up in 30 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. I want to read for you guys a tweet from Jay Billis before we head to the phone line and catch up with Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports. Typical NCAA, punish the innocent. The NCAA believes in education, so punish by taking away educational opportunities. It makes zero sense. The NCAA had no case against UNC, so it unreasonably slams Missouri to look tough. How lame. Jay Billis has certainly been one of the more vocal critics of the NCAA. Let's head to the hotline right now to catch up with Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports about Missouri receiving a postseason ban for next season. Dennis, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good, man.
Well, I mean, Dennis, I actually cheer for Missouri, so I'm not really doing that well today, Dennis. But let's just start with this. What do you make of today's breaking news about Missouri not being able to play in a bowl game next year and the penalty they received today from the NCAA?
The message I got from that infractions report was it looked like Missouri's biggest mistake was that they didn't push back enough. I think that, you know, as much as the infractions committee won't make comparisons after what happened to North Carolina in 2017, every academic thought from here to the end of time has to be compared. Think about this. Missouri had what is clearly, everybody agrees, was a rogue tutoring and doing work for 12 players. Everybody agrees with that. Missouri was lauded for turning this case in, admitting what happened, and get the bowl ban, among other things. And North Carolina, over a textbook case of academic fraud, the 1,500 athletes that extended over 18 years, was escaped. So we've got a lot of issues here. The NCAA, if it wants to or not, has to put on the books a clear and definitive ruling what academic fraud is. I'm looking at some documents over the last week. Apparently, there isn't one. So you just kind of have this floating target. Every time one of these cases shows up, you're at the mercy of whoever's on that infraction committee.
Hey, right now we're talking to Dennis Dodd. Hey, Brandon, if you can put him on hold and call him back, we'll try to see if we can get a better line for Dennis Dodd. I'll put him on hold. Hold on. Our producer's new, so he didn't know the hold button. But no worries there. No, I mean, I think that he makes a really good point. I can hear him. I apologize if you guys couldn't hear him when it comes to Dennis Dodd. Just, it's going to be very difficult, I think, for the NCAA to justify there was a major academic fraud incident in guarding North Carolina, one of its major programs, and then the penalty that was enforced for North Carolina and compare it with the penalty that we just saw enforced for the University of Missouri, which we can agree was a much harsher penalty. Brandon, go ahead and talk over the radio, man. Go ahead.
He had a landline, or he doesn't have a landline, so we're going to try this again. He's got a, he had a headphone in. He took it out.
Okay. Hey, Dennis, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
No, you are a lot better now than you were. Let's just start from the beginning. What do you make of Missouri's penalty handed down by the NCAA?
Well, given the North Carolina situation in 2017, Missouri's biggest mistake here may not have been fighting back enough or at all. I read the infractions report. Everybody agrees there was a rogue tutor there who tutored 12 players. They all know what went on. They can't name it. There is no smoking gun, at least according to the NCAA, who directed this, or a group of people who directed this, were left to believe she did it on her own, saying she was pressured, but can't name the name. Meanwhile, North Carolina, over 18 years, had serial academic fraud where they practiced a shadow curriculum where work was may or may not have been turned in, and classes didn't meet. Over 18 years, and they were allowed to skate, and Missouri gets a bowl ban. Something's wrong here.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of my frustration in this is there's just no consistency with the penalties when it comes to the NCAA. That you're right. I mean, North Carolina had a much more serious, seem rampant problem. And then Missouri's, it seems like kind of like when you watch a game and then they have a makeup call that they let North Carolina kind of skate. So they're going extra hard on Missouri.
Yeah, I was looking at some documents from last week. The NCAA at least is giving, attention to this right now. In a document that the Raleigh paper obtained, a working group recommended to the presidents, listen to this, that the NCAA adopt an academic integrity bylaw. Wait a minute. In 2019, there isn't one?
Yeah.
That's where this whole thing stems from. The fact is, it's like, well, who was that Supreme Court judge? He didn't know what pornography was, but he knew it when he saw it. That's how they judge academic fraud these days, and really forever.
We're talking to, oh, sorry, Dennis.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, we're talking to Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports. Dennis, to me, it seems like the best legal advice going forward for any university or athletic department is to just tell your people not to talk to the NCAA, and then you can get away with it.
Well, or that, or fight back. North Carolina spent millions of dollars, I think $3 million over the years defending this. And they ended up saying at the end of the investigation, yeah, we did wrong, but you can't tell us what classes to offer. That was basically their defense. And the NCAA went for it. And they have gone for it in other cases. Now, Missouri, I guess, is a little more cut and dried. But this isn't, there wasn't any conspiracy here. There was nothing to hide. Missouri missed this person. She did it out of, it looks like she did it out of need for money. She said she was pressured, but can't name the person who pressured her there. I think it's kind of suspicious, the person or person. So that's what we're left with. Those are the facts the NCAA has. And out of that, they come with a postseason ban for three sports.
Dennis, why did this woman come forward and do this?
You know, I don't know. I remember when it first came forward in the media, the Star, I think, wrote the story, maybe in the newspaper. I can't remember. You know, it was almost like, you know, she was frustrated that she hadn't been heard. She had no money. She was living in her car. I wanted to get this off of her conscience. I think that was the only reason she did it. I wasn't even sure she was going to speak to the NCAA because she wasn't taking reporters' calls to talk about it. You know, I don't know if there's anything in it for her. It's not like she gets any sort of recompense out of this. Maybe just to clear her conscience. I can't speak for her.
So right now we're talking to Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports. So, Dennis, what do you think happens next in this scenario? I know Missouri is filing an appeal. Based on kind of following these things and stories very similar, what do you think happens next in this case?
Well, unless Missouri can prove that the NCAA actually violated its own investigatory rules, I don't think they have much of a chance. Jim Sterk, the Missouri AD, said the NCAA abused its discretion. Those are the exact words that Ole Miss used in the Hugh Freeze situation. We never given a two-year bowl ban, and the NCAA just dismissed that as a reason for an appeal. So unless you can find really a quantitative, I guess, violation of the investigatory process, they have, from what I see on the surface, they have little chance of winning the appeal.
That is Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports. Dennis, really appreciate you making the time today, man. Thanks a lot for coming on.
All right, thanks, guys.
That is Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports joining us. Someone on the text line asked a really good question. Text line 69306, and we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest coming up in just a little bit. And you have something about Patrick Mahomes we'll get to coming up in just a little bit. Haven't we always known that better players live by special rules, schools too? Yes, I think we know that in the course of a game, certain universities get calls, I'm not going to make it seem like everybody lives by the exact same rules. But I don't think an organization like the NCAA should be in the business of, well, we'll let Kentucky skate. We'll let North Carolina skate. But programs like Missouri will absolutely lay the hammer and punish you. Like, my biggest issue with the NCAA all the time is this whole student comes first, student athletes. Tell me how this penalty, where we can agree it affected, or 12 students benefited from this. Mm-hmm. So we can agree, not the entire football team, no one currently on the football team. How does this penalty help the current student athletes at Missouri football? How does this current situation help the current student athletes for Missouri baseball? So you're telling me that these scholarships are so valuable that they create opportunities for everybody that could maybe not afford to go to college. Why are you taking scholarships away then if that's the scenario? Just find Missouri $5 million and say, hey, we found your university guilty of X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
We don't want to punish 19 and 18-year-olds and take away their opportunities for, you know, life-changing experiences like going to bowl games and doing all this kind of stuff. So we will then penalize the university. Why is it always the NCAA is, well, you did something wrong, so we're not going to limit your ability to attract 18 and 19-year-old kids. And then the number of pool of scholarships that exist for D1 athletes, we're going to shrink this based off something so random as this.
I think that's the big question. I mean, I'm reading a piece on Baseball America right now. And it's about, and forgive me if I pronounce the guy's name wrong, the baseball coach at Mizzou, his name's, I believe it's Steve Beiser. He's in year two with his program. Came from Southeast Missouri State. He had nothing to do with this. Nothing to do with this. And the majority of his players on his team had nothing to do with this. Yet they're the ones that are going to be penalized. So I agree with you 100%. If the NCAA is about the student athlete, then why are you taking the ability for students to go and get a free education at Mizzou? It doesn't make any sense to me the way they did this. And I'll go back to the biggest thing, too, C-Dot, is Missouri did the right thing. Missouri found a problem, turned it in, gave it to the NCAA, and they got absolutely crushed for it. And now a bunch of kids that had nothing to do with it. It'd be one thing, and I didn't realize the UNC thing was going on for 18 years. Like that affects a lot of athletes.
That's
major.
A rampant scheme.
This was 12 individual athletes at Missouri. And so now this guy that took over the Missouri baseball program last year, Steve Beiser, if that's how you pronounce his last name, now his program and his scholarships are going to be affected because of this. The NCAA got it wrong. Mizzou got screwed today.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest, and we'll transition and talk a little football coming up next. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
It is your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Text the word cucumber.
You got this.
U-M-B-E-R. Cucumber.
Way to go, man.
272-881. That's cucumber. If you want cheese talk and a chance to win $1,000 on the 30s, well, there's only one station in Kansas City giving you both weekdays, 7A to 7P. It pays to listen to the largest sports radio company in the world. Message and data rates may apply. Your next chance to win is coming up in 1 hour, but why not go ahead and win right now? One more time for those of you in the back that lack hearing.
What?
Cucumber. C-U-C-U-M-B-E-R. Cucumber. Text the word cucumber to 72881. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, we'll all take a minute. Plus, we'll give you a chance to win a prize during the pop quiz today. A large specialty pizza from the other place certainly would go down well when you're watching the big game. Plus, as we do every day this week at 2:45, we'll give you Brandon Kylie random facts as we learn more about our new producer. Coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, we'll also catch up with Jay Binkley. Binkley will join us in studio to talk about the robbery that just happened for my Missouri Tigers. Many of you are asking for the Missouri voicemail. We got a long time now. Come on. We already gave it to you off the top. We're not just going to keep playing the Missouri voicemail all day. I don't need that. My spirit doesn't need that.
Yeah.
And Missouri doesn't really, they don't really need it in this situation, you know? Missouri did what was right, you know? They were honest. They were true. They were fair. And the NCAA, the big bad NCAA, if anything, this should be a unifying measure.
Yeah.
Missouri and Kansas should come together to try to disband the NCAA. KU fans, you can't tell me that you're happy with the NCAA. I see your complaints on the text line. I hear your complaints. You should be unhappy with the NCAA. Missouri's unhappy with the NCAA. K-State, you don't do anything, so you're probably cool with the NCAA. But we should be trying to come together and use our resources to build each other up and not tear each other apart.
Can I just say that I'm proud of you right now, C-Dot? Considering what happened today with Missouri, and then getting thrown a multi-syllable word in the national cash contest. I mean, this really could have been the one that you screwed up. And you got through it well, man. I'm proud of you.
No, I mean, I'm doing the absolute best that I can.
Yeah.
So, today, I don't know why you wanted to do this, but you wanted to take a look back in the Kansas City Chiefs season. This isn't what I would have done, but sure. Hey, I'm not one to tell people how to think.
Sure. I had a little bit of an epiphany today as I was driving into work. And I want you to think about this as we're, what, 3-4 days away from the Super Bowl. A year from now, roughly, I think there's a decent chance we look back at two plays that turned the Chiefs into Super Bowl champions, and neither one of them had involved Patrick Mahomes whatsoever. Two plays that happened that never involved Patrick Mahomes may be the reason that the Chiefs end up winning a Super Bowl. Here's one of them.
4 seconds left in the game, but this is likely the final play that matters. End zone, wide open. What a night for Mike Williams. Just a total bust in coverage by the Kansas City Chiefs. They just broke assignment there between those two.
And that, of course, was the two-point conversion against the Chargers in the game where the Chiefs blew three 14-point leads, had a two-touchdown lead with under 5 minutes to go in that game, ended up losing. We know the end of it, and I'm sorry to bring that up. But think of the changes that happened when that play happened. Charvarius Ward got the start in Seattle. We never heard from Orlando Scandrick again. That confusion between Scandrick and Kendall Fuller cost Orlando Scandrick his job. And that's how we got a chance to see Charvarius Ward against Seattle. And we may, who knows, have found a pretty decent 22-year-old corner with a bright future in Kansas City.
Also cost Ron Parker his job, too.
And Ron Parker ended up getting whacked as well. So Ron Parker was out of there. Orlando Scandrick never saw the field again. And that changed things. And that's a point that you brought up right after it happened. Now, the other play, too, that I think we could look back on and say, this could be one of the biggest reasons why the Chiefs are Super Bowl champions in, what, February 5th, 2020, is this play.
Hands in the pocket. Flags out. Ball's picked. Ball is intercepted. It comes out of the hands of Ward for a moment. But he had it long enough, I believe. But he got a flag down.
Offside. Defense, number 55, lined up in the neutral zone. The five-yard penalty will replay third down.
Can you believe it? He's right there. And he is. He's over the blue by quite a bit, actually.
And, of course, that was from CBS Sports and Dee Ford lining up offsides. So two plays that happened this year could be the reason, at least one of the reasons, why the Chiefs are Super Bowl champions next year. Neither one of those had anything to do with Patrick Mahomes. And the reason I bring these plays up, fairly simple. We didn't hear Andy Reid say, hey, Bob Sutton wanted to see the young guys in Seattle. Andy Reid said, I wanted to see the young guys play in Seattle. When he talked about Charvarius Ward, when he talked about Jordan Lucas, when he talked about Tremont Smith. And then Dee Ford lining up offsides was the final nail in the Chiefs' coffin in the AFC Championship game. If he's not offsides, the Chiefs win that, they go to the Super Bowl. If there's not a busted coverage against the Chargers in the two-point conversion, and if Dee Ford lines up onside, Bob Sutton is still the defensive coordinator in Kansas City. I believe that firmly. How do you fire a guy that defense plays big when it had to at home when you're trying to lock up the number one seed? And how do you fire a guy when you go to the Super Bowl with the 31st worst defense in the NFL? Those two plays, in my opinion, could be two of the biggest reasons why the Chiefs are Super Bowl champions next year.
I'm going to call shenanigans just a little bit. I think you're using a little bit of a defense mechanism. Because
I might be.
If Dee Ford lines up correctly and the Chiefs win that football game like they would have, the Chiefs are this week the favorite in the Super Bowl. I firmly believe that the public would be on the Chiefs' side. I think the sharp bettors would be on the Chiefs' side. I think the Chiefs would be like two-point favorites this week, maybe three-point favorites. New England's three-point favorites in this. I think some of that is they're the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like Chiefs minus 1.5, Chiefs 2, essentially a pick 'em, but I think the Chiefs would be slight favorites in this game. So I'm not taking this of, no, those two plays turn them into. Now, the two-point conversion, I think, put them in the position to go to the AFC Championship game. We don't know what happens if you still got Orlando Scandrick or Ron Parker in there. But the offsides penalty, I'm just not going to go back and then spin the offsides penalty as a positive for the Chiefs. That was as close as maybe you'll ever get. Now, I think Mahomes will get there, but we have absolutely no clue what happened. Dan Marino never got there before. The offsides penalty may be as close as you ever get to the Super Bowl. I'm not spinning that play as a positive for the Chiefs.
Well, I think it might be, though, C-Dot. And think about this. All right, let's just go hypothetically. You love your hypotheticals here. So let's say the Chiefs do win that game.
They go to the Super Bowl.
They go to the Super Bowl. So now you've got, and let's just say, you know, I'm just throwing this out there, that Andy Reid was still going to fire Bob Sutton no matter what, whether they went to the Super Bowl or not. So now you're stretching this thing out an extra 2, possibly 3 weeks to go find a guy to replace Bob Sutton. I already think the Chiefs missed out on some really good defensive coordinators, and Steve Spagnuolo may not have been their first choice. So now you're stretching this thing out two, three weeks. And then what if the Chiefs end up winning the Super Bowl? How are you going to fire Bob Sutton on that? You can't do it. So it sucks that Dee Ford lined up offsides. It sucks that there was a coverage breakdown on that two-point conversion. But if those two plays don't happen, Bob Sutton is probably still here and still here for next year. How do you fire a coordinator that got you to the Super Bowl and maybe won you a Super Bowl? You can't do it.
But also, I mean, wouldn't you be arguing that'd be one of those good problems? Like I'm saying is, in your scenario, if the Chiefs were Super Bowl champions after the Super Bowl, we wouldn't be talking about them firing Bob Sutton. We'd be talking about parades. We'd be talking about how this was the greatest season we ever had before.
But I also think that Bob Sutton is still going to be a problem whether they won the Super Bowl or not.
I agree.
Something that needed to be taken care of. Those two plays forced Andy's hand.
I agree, but isn't the conversation similar to the beginning of the season when yours was, I don't care as long as they score more points than the other team?
Yeah.
Isn't the conversation then is, their offense is so transcendent, they'll always be able to overcome Bob Sutton's defense. That's certainly the conversation. So if Dee Ford, to go down this road,
if D Ford lines up correctly, they win that football game. Mm-hmm. They then go to Atlanta and they win the Super Bowl. I'm telling you, we're not complaining about Bob Sutton. I'm not complaining about him. You're not complaining about him. The text line, nobody is complaining about Bob Sutton if in your scenario they end up winning the Super Bowl. And when it comes to defensive coordinator, to me, Spagnuolo was always going to be there. Jack Del Rio was always going to be there. John Fox, who works for ESPN, was always going to be there. You're right. Maybe they missed on Todd Bowles.
Yeah.
Maybe they missed on Steve Wilkes. But the current defensive coordinator they had, they have now, he was going to be there in 2 weeks.
But you're also missing on assistant coaches, too, not just the coordinator. If this thing goes 2 and 3 weeks, if you're going to make that, if you're going to make that hire, your staff isn't as good. You don't have first pick of all these guys. You can't do all these things. So, I as crazy as it sounds, I think those two plays are probably two plays that I think we're going to look back at and say those two plays shaped Chiefs history in a positive way. And I know that sounds crazy, but Sutton's still here, and then we're going to get it 3 weeks into the season. The Chiefs hang 40 on somebody and get beat somewhere to a team they shouldn't lose to next year, even if they had won the Super Bowl, and then we're complaining about Bob Sutton again. Those two plays forced Andy to make a move. Because we know how loyal Andy is to his coaches. Doesn't want to get rid of any of them. Wants to give them a second chance. It's the personnel. It's this. It's that. I'm loyal to my guys. To a fault at times. Those two plays forced his hand. He had to make a change.
But I mean, I also think, though, in that scenario of if you're saying the thing is, if they win the Super Bowl, we complain about Bob Sutton, that's probably one of those good things. You know what I mean? Like, if you had the button to press of they keep Bob Sutton, but they win the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah.
And then next year, like, you probably press the button to keep Bob Sutton, and then next year have the 31st ranked defense.
For sure. But instead of getting somebody in place, making a change that can give you a 3-4 year run, you got another chance with a guy that can't get it done and hadn't gotten it done for 3 years. Because I think if the Chiefs would have won that game, if D Ford doesn't line up offsides, they go to the Super Bowl and they win it, I just think it covers up a giant zit that's still going to be there, that still needs to be popped, you know? And I think that's the problem, you know, because we go 3 weeks into the following season, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, you knew it was going to happen, you know, that the Chiefs defense would fail, and it would be on Bob, and it'd be the same schemes, and corners would be grabbing, and there'd be penalties, and all this, and we'd be like, it's time to fire Bob. Those two plays forced Andy's hand.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll give you a chance to win a large specialty pizza from the other place. And we'll continue to learn more about our producer, Brandon Kiley. And we'll all take a minute. That's coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Well, let's go.
Give me a minute.
You are officially on the clock.
Coming up in about 45 minutes or so, we'll give you another chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest. We'll also catch up with Jay Binkley in studio to talk about what's going down with the Missouri Tigers. We'll also continue to learn more about our guy, BK, and BK's random facts. We got a little bit of breaking news that I will just incorporate into my minute. Brandon, hit me. So, the Dallas Mavericks are nearing... the Dallas Mavericks are nearing a trade to acquire Kristaps Porzingis from the New York Knicks. KP being moved. The Mavericks would give up Dennis Smith Jr. I'm trying to see what else they would give up, but a big trade in the NBA. This thing came together like very, very quickly. Like at the beginning of the day, it was Porzingis wants to be traded. And then by 1 o'clock, it was, well, he's not on the team anymore. The Mavericks making a little bit of moves. You get Porzingis. You get Luka Doncic, who is playing fantastic this year. You get one lottery pick. Like the Mavericks are building a team that can maybe be a contender in the West. That's your breaking news for the day. The Dallas Mavericks are trading for Kristaps Porzingis. The Knicks are in absolute tank mode. There's nothing the Knicks want more than Zion Williamson this year.
Yeah, the Knicks are a mess, aren't they?
I think this year they're actually handling it right.
Just
I mean,
to get Zion?
Yeah, I mean, they got a chance to get the number one overall pick this year, and you take Zion, that's worth trading Kristaps Porzingis for.
So now we're in NBA tank mode right now on January 31st already.
The Knicks have been in tank mode from the beginning of the season.
Brandon, give me a minute, please. Today, three of the greatest baseball players of all time have a birthday. Happy birthday to Nolan Ryan, 72 years old today. Nolan Ryan had a million no-hitters. He was terrific. I think a lot of fans will remember him for when he put the beat down on Robin Ventura when he rushed the mound when Nolan was 65 years old at the time. But also Ernie Banks and Jackie Robinson's birthday are today as well. I want to wish a happy birthday to my mother-in-law as well. Got to do that. Got to sneak that in there. And also today is one of my favorite days of the year when it comes to baseball. That sounds a little bit crazy, right? Royals didn't sign anybody. It's not the winter meetings. Spring training hasn't started. But today out of Kauffman Stadium, they packed up those big semis and they headed for spring training. And you know what that means? Not only is baseball season right around the corner, but warm weather is. And boy, do we need that around here. I love it when they pack the truck up and head to Arizona. That's my minute.
You know how sometimes you always get mad at us or making fun for you for being old?
Mm-hmm.
Your minute today was about packing up for spring training and loading up the truck.
I'm telling you, man, it just means that...
That was an old people. You can admit that was an old people minute.
It's a sign, dude. It's a sign that spring is right around the corner. It's not as... like. You know this, CDOT. When we get home at night, when our show's over, it's dark outside. It's awful.
Mm-hmm.
You get home, it's dark, it's nasty. All right, we're getting towards spring. We're getting there. It's kind of like when the NCAA tournament starts. Okay, or the conference tournaments get going. Spring's right around the corner. This is an early step. I love it.
I mean, nothing fires me up more than watching the Royals win 73 games this year.
I
know.
It should fire you up because that means the rebuild is on track. We're doing good things.
When do you think we're going to have they got swept in the series, but you're like, if they had done X, Y, and Z different, I mean, they could have won that series.
Maybe the first or the second series.
You said that like 15 times last year. Royals lose 15-2. I mean, if they just take Ian Kennedy out in the second inning, they would have won that game, but they didn't.
I mean, that's a little extreme. That's a little extreme. I would say probably the first week and a half of this.
That's 100%.
Yeah, of the season, I'm going to throw that in there. Yeah.
I feel like I was actually thinking this year, and BK will let you take your minute. To me, this season is all about Raul Mondesi. Or Adalberto, he's going to be Raul Mondesi to me.
No.
It's all about him. Like, does he become a star this year? At the end of the season, is it just not we think in Kansas City he's a star, or does everybody think he's a star?
Yeah.
Like, I don't really care if they win 69 games. I don't care if they win 71 games. Like, you don't feel any better about the Royals if they win 3 extra games than they won last year. Like, this is going to be a season of Mondesi for a full year. Does he hit 24 home runs and have 105 RBIs? If he does that, then this year was an overwhelming success.
And stays healthy, too. And I think it's about other guys as well. I mean, I want to see what Soler does. If he can stay healthy, I think that could be a great bat in the lineup for them. Curious to see what Salvi does. Duffy, Hunter Dozier, can he be the guy at third base? Could be Alex Gordon's last year in Kansas City. More than likely it is. I think there's a lot more storylines out there than you're giving it credit, but I think Mondesi's at the top of the list.
I just feel like a lot of the guys you named are not part of their future. Like, Gordon's last year with the Royals, I mean, he done a lot for the Royals. Like, he's not part of your future. Like, Gordon, go out there and have a really good year. I don't feel any different about the Royals moving forward.
Yeah, I think Brett Phillips has a lot to prove, too, to see if he can be a guy. Whit Merrifield signed his deal. What's he going to do? Ken O'Hearn, can he be the guy at first base? I think there's a lot of questions out there.
To me,
there.
You're just naming a lot of guys. Like, there's one star.
No,
on
you're
their
right.
Team. There's one potential star.
I don't disagree with you on that, but you need all those other guys too if you're going to get back to a championship level.
All right, I'll take my minute now. My minute today is going to be on the Cleveland Browns, and maybe not for what you're thinking this is going to be about. You guys may know Cameron Jordan. No, he doesn't play for the Browns. But the Browns once wanted Cameron Jordan to play for them. He was asked earlier today on the Dan Patrick Show, has Cameron Jordan ever been confused with Jordan Cameron? Here's his response.
The Browns called me while I was chilling with my D-line coach, Bill Johnson, at the time, who's going to the Super Bowl this year. Great job, Bill. We were driving from the airport, and I got a call from the Browns, called down. They're like, hey, we're about to select you. And I was like, I mean, I'm good, actually. I think I've already been selected. But if you want to send that check, I'll take that.
Okay, so you had already been taken in the first round, so this was the next day.
Right.
And you were going to get drafted by the Browns.
No doubt. No doubt. And sitting there, you're just like, I mean, I'll take 2 signing bonuses, but I refuse to go to Cleveland.
This just in, you can't mess up the guy that you're selecting in the 4th round by confusing him with Cameron Jordan when you want Jordan Cameron. That's my minute.
And you wonder why the Browns were winless. And you wonder why the Browns are the Browns, right? And that's a mess.
Did you guys read that story from Seth Wickersham?
Yeah, the Browns.
It's a really good story. I read it a couple days ago, and I was just like, I mean, the Browns, like, I mean, we all knew it was dysfunctional. Like, I had no clue how deep the dysfunction went. A really quick NBA note here. Brian Windhorst of ESPN said the Knicks are on their way to creating 2 max salary slots for next summer. When today started, they didn't even have space for 1. They are preparing to swing big. The Knicks are 100% trying to make a play for Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. Like, that has to be the play for the Knicks over the next, like, I actually think they got a really good chance to get Kyrie because I think Kyrie kind of wants his own team and, like, I'm the superstar. I'm in a big market. This team can go to the finals based on me. So I kind of think he wants to go to the Knicks. Like, so then it's going to be, if you can get Kyrie locked in, can you sway Kevin Durant, who I actually don't think is going to resign with Golden State next year? The Knicks are actually heading in the right direction, and they're a team that still has the potential number 1 overall pick. You're telling me a team next year with Kevin Durant, Zion, and Kyrie doesn't get you excited? Yeah, I'd watch That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'd watch the NBA. I'd watch the NBA closely when the Knicks were on.
BK, go ahead, man.
All right, it's time for my three random facts. My first one for you guys today. I once lost an elementary spelling bee by misspelling the word captain. So, C-Dot, I completely understand your frustration.
You'll fit right in around here, man.
My word that I got out was diagonal.
I feel like we've all got that word. Fanny, do you remember yours?
But not in the spelling bee. I was actually pretty good in spelling bees. Restaurant is a word that I can never spell correctly.
Really?
Yeah, restaurant screws me up every time.
I will never misspell captain again. Number two, my family had Chiefs season tickets when I was growing up, section 336, row 1. My most vivid memory from those games was Chiefs Seahawks. It was the rain game that some of you may remember back in 1998.
Is that a Monday night game? Is that what it was?
I think it was a Sunday game, but it was definitely a lot of rain.
Okay.
That was the Derek Thomas meltdown game, right?
Yep, it was indeed. Okay. Number
that was
three.
Not good. No, that was not good.
It was not.
I pronounce crayons the same way that I pronounce crown. I think that may be a Kansas City thing, but it is certainly something that I have done since I was a little kid.
Say that word then.
I say crown.
Instead of crayon?
Like Crayola crown.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
You say crown.
I don't know.
I say instead of milk, I catch myself saying milk.
Like See, do you have one of
with
those?
With an E. Pillow and pillow screw me up too. I say pillow instead of pillow.
I mean, people make fun of me for how I pronounce words all the time, so I don't really want to give them any fuel.
It's already kind of a rough day for you.
For doing this.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this.
How do you pronounce infraction?
Infraction.
Okay.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
So today on ESPN.com, they did a 30 most impactful trades over the last 365 days. Your Kansas City Chiefs were on the list at number 13 and number 6. So no one disagrees with the Alex Smith trade. He was not going to start this year quarterback. They got Kendall Fuller. They got a third round pick. That was the absolute smart decision. A lot of us disagree with the trade for Marcus Peters. So they give it an impact grade of a B-. I think we can now go back and say that was the right trade for the Rams.
Yeah.
The Rams got Marcus Peters, who...
It didn't look like that for a while, but after the Saints game, when Tlaib came back, I think you're right.
That I think we now learned about Marcus Peters. He's not a number one corner, but a really strong number two. Mm-hmm. That Aqib Tlaib is a legit number one corner in the league. That if you put him and hide some of Peters' deficiencies, second half of the season, Marcus Peters was the Marcus Peters of old. Now going back, do you think that was a good trade on the field-wise for the Chiefs? Because we now know what they got. They got the fourth-round pick 124, and that's the pick that they used for Armani Watts. They also have a 2019 second-round pick, which is going to equal being the 63rd or 64th pick, depending on what happens with the Rams on Sunday. So for the Rams, they gave the Marcus Peters trade a B-. What would you give that trade for the Chiefs?
I give it an incomplete right now because we barely got to see Armani Watts before they had to put him on injured reserve, and we don't know who they're going to get with that second-round pick this year. So I can't give it a grade yet. I can't do it because I think Armani Watts is going to be good, but I got to see more from him, and we don't know who they're getting with this year's pick. I don't know how we can grade it yet from a Kansas City standpoint.
I mean, I certainly would love to, going into a new defense with a new scheme, I would certainly love to have Marcus Peters. That I kind of find it hard to believe, unless they trade that number two pick for an established NFL player, because that's possible. I find it hard to believe that during the window of Patrick Mahomes, that ends up being a good trade for the Chiefs. Because the Rams took advantage of the window of Jared Goff.
Yeah.
They traded a second-round pick for Marcus Peters. That you're right. They could have gave up a player that certainly would have greater long-term value.
Yeah.
But for them to have a really good corner that helps you get to the Super Bowl, everybody would take that trade. The Chiefs need to capitalize on that second-round draft pick during the window of Patrick Mahomes under this rookie contract to look at and say the Chiefs won that trade.
Yeah, I totally agree. And the other part of this, too, if you look at it, what if the Chiefs don't make the deal, right? So what if you have, you know, remember we had a handful of days there where we thought the Chiefs had Kendall Fuller and Marcus Peters? I think they'd be in the Super Bowl if that was the case. I think if they had Marcus Peters on one side, Kendall Fuller on the other, Steve Nelson as a third corner and working in whoever else you want to get back there, I think the Chiefs are probably in the Super Bowl this year. I do think this, and I think it's easy to do. I think it's easy to look at hindsight and say, man, they shouldn't have made that deal. But I don't think any of us thought the offense was going to be this explosive this year. I don't think the Chiefs included thought the offense was going to be like this year.
Yeah, but I mean, I also say it's easy to say in hindsight. A lot of us were saying during the trade, before the trade, I wouldn't trade Marcus Peters to what they got, and they were trading him for 55 cents, 60 cents on the dollar. That you're right. Peters had his struggles the first 8 weeks of the season. Once they got a key to lead back,
yeah,
Peters
different.
Was the Marcus Peters that the Chiefs had traded in the beginning. Coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest. But first, pop quiz.
Stand by, going to air. Exciting quiz program.
Pop quiz.
I'm sorry, but all questions must be submitted in writing.
The pop quiz is presented by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Today's winner of the pop quiz gets a large specialty pizza from the other place. Today's pop quiz is a movie. BK, take it away.
I got family up there from Louisville. I need them to know. I need them to know who I am.
Hey, number one, you playing ball or socializing?
Playing ball, huh?
Come on! Don't let
him
get to you!
Playing ball. Maybe tomorrow we'll all wear 42. That way they won't tell us apart.
Yo, you got to get better at the pop quiz. If you know what movie that is, be calling number 6 to 913-576-7610. It's not like they didn't tell you the title of the movie during the quote. Coming up in just a little bit, did I cause this for the Missouri Tigers? I'll explain what I mean coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.